CBSi in the World, I'm John Batsa with Akın Erdemir, a former member of the Turkish Parliament, helping me understand the parliamentarian maneuvering going on before the next presidential and parliament election. At the same time, Turkey is troubled by, as we all are, the pandemic and the concomitant economy struggling. But we go to North Africa because Akın can help me understand President Erdogan's call to President Syed of Tunis after he suspended the parliament. What's in it for Turkey to get involved in Tunis? At the same time, Turkey has tentacles reaching into Libya, tentacles reaching into parts of Africa. So is this a successful policy? Is this a vanity project for Erdogan to busy himself about the Mediterranean basin when he has all this trouble at home? How is it regarded in the newspapers inside Turkey and in the diaspora outside? Is Erdogan a vain creature, or has he got some plan?
John, Tunisia is really a very important country for Erdogan and his Islamist project. Tunisia was the country where the Arab Spring was first sparked. And then when fortunes turned against Erdogan's, you know, Muslim Brotherhood allies across the Middle East and North Africa, Tunisia remained the only country where the Muslim Brotherhood Party, the Ennahda, still retains significant support. And to this day, it is the biggest parliamentary bloc in Tunisia, although it doesn't have, majority there. So Erdogan has very close affinity and support for Tunisia's Muslim Brotherhood Party and its leader, Ghannouchi. So when Erdogan reached out to Tunisian President Said, it was less out of a concern for Tunisia's democracy and the rule of law and separation of powers, and more out of a concern for the prospects of a fellow pro-Muslim Brotherhood Party and its leader, who also happens to be the Speaker of the Parliament, Ghannouchi. And of course, beyond these narrow political interests, partisan interests among, you know, Muslim Brotherhood comrades, there is also the broader interests of Ankara in the North Africa. Tunisia is, again, a linchpin in the region because Erdogan has, you know, a strong military and proxy presence in Libya, in neighboring Libya. There are Syrian mercenaries, you know, Islamists turned Erdogan's proxy fighters currently deployed in Libya. And Erdogan is basically one of the key patrons and supporters of one of the fighting sides in the Libyan civil war, namely the Government of National Accord, which again is dominated to some extent by Erdogan's Muslim Brotherhood, Libyan Muslim Brotherhood allies. So Erdogan sees his footprint in North Africa as an important aspect of his ambitions for his network of Muslim Brotherhood parties, who he hopes will one day dominate all of North Africa, including Egypt.
The puzzle here: are the leaders in North Africa pleased to get a call from Erdogan, or do they say, what does he want this time? Or do they take the phone call because there's money attached to it? Do we know?
Now, it depends on which side of the political spectrum you are. For example, when President Morsi was in power in Egypt, given he was, again, a close Muslim Brotherhood ally of Erdogan, Turkish-Egyptian relations were very cordial, to such an extent that Erdogan sent his own campaign manager and funded Morsi's election campaign in Egypt for him. And again, in Libya, when the Muslim Brotherhood Alliance, Government of National Accord, receives Erdogan phone calls, they're delighted because Erdogan not only sends financial resources, but he also sent Turkish drones, Turkish, you know, anti-air defense systems, as well as Syrian mercenaries to fight alongside GNA forces. Now, in Tunisia, again, you know, Ghannouchi's Ennahda party feels close affinity to Erdogan and sees Erdogan as one of its key supporters globally. So they are really delighted to have Erdogan's support. But when you take a look at, let's say, the pro-secular or pro-Western or more moderate parts of the political spectrum in the Middle East and North Africa, they see Erdogan as trouble. They see Erdogan as one of the patrons and driving forces of the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as of, Islamist policies and politics in their region. So they would do their best to contain Erdogan's influence, money, as well as, mercenaries in their neighborhood.
Final thought, Aiken. We have less than a minute. The 500,000 Afghans now in Turkey, are they invited by Erdogan in? Is he in offering to secure the airport in Kabul? Is he looking to develop the Afghan relationship? We have about 30 seconds.
Now, unlike Syrian refugees who were invited by Erdogan, Afghan refugees were not invited by Erdogan. But Afghans have been flowing to Turkey since the 1980s, and the latest flare-ups with the Taliban have really provoked new waves. And at this point, there are over 500,000 Afghans, and that number will be going up in the months to come.
Aiken Erdemir, former member of the Turkish Parliament, senior director of the Turkey program at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World, watching Erdogan very closely. The man is spinning in all directions with a great deal of power. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.